The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show.
On Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio, EWTN, and the Napa Institute issued a joint press release announcing our common effort to pray and promote the daily recitation of the Rosary during the month of October. That starts on Friday. We're praying for the intention of the end of legal abortion in America and the outpouring of support for expectant mothers.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that was our chief executive officer, Father Frank Hoffman. You know him as Father Rocky, making what I think is a huge announcement about the Rosary partnership that Relevant Radio has engaged in with EWTN and the Napa Institute. Mike Warsall from EWTN will join us in a few minutes. We'll talk to him a little bit about this initiative. But I think this is huge. You know, I really do. I've been saying to you for a very long time, I really believe we are reaching the climax, the pinnacle, an intersection where the forces of life versus death are going to engage and one will be victorious. We know life will be victorious. We know good always conquers evil. And I really do believe Roe v. Wade in this country will fall. I have no doubt about that in my mind. Now, the battle will continue on different fronts, but we're winning the battle. And we've seen that in Texas and Florida, a lot of other places. You may be aware, you may not be aware, that the House voted last week to pass a bill that put Roe v. Wade into the U.S. Code of Law. Now, what does that mean? What am I saying? This bill, it's called the Women's Health Protection Act. And just to help you understand what's happening here, this goes even beyond Roe. And sometimes I think, you know, when the evil one is losing, when good is about to triumph, it often looks like evil is going to be victorious. It often looks like evil is the one that looms the largest. So they passed this beautifully worded Women's Health Protection Act, which is nothing but a whitewashed tomb. Now, with Roe, of course, falling, and it will, states are going to be able to put some restrictions on abortion, like, you know, parental notification, informed consent laws, health and safety regulation, among other things, right? So the bill's not going to only override all of those state-level restrictions that are currently in place, but it'll also allow non-doctors to perform abortions. Now, you know, I know you're saying, what did he say? You heard me right. Just listen to this. This should send a shiver up everybody's spine. The bill would not only override all of those restrictions that the state currently has, but it will allow non-doctors, non-physicians to perform abortions. And it's going to force you as an American, to pay for abortions here and overseas, by the way, through your tax dollars. My heart goes out to anybody who works in the healthcare field, because it's going to force healthcare workers to violate their conscience by forcing them to participate in abortions, even though they object to taking, you know, the unborn life. Now, I think we're going to see a massive exodus. I don't know how people can continue to do this. We're seeing people upset over, you know, mandates, vaccine mandates, lose their job. When this goes through, whew, there's going to be a shortage. The other thing it'll do, too, it's going to force employers to cover abortion in their insurance plans. But it's not something I'm happy about if I was a business owner, that's for sure. But here's the worst part of it all, okay? I'll give you the kind of the nutshell of it all. It would allow abortion on demand. What's that mean? It means that a non-doctor, right, anybody, they could go in and it would allow abortion through all stages of pregnancy. All stages. So the state laws protecting the lives of the unborn with Down syndrome, guess what? That's history. Tossed out. That's it. Vaya con Dios. It's gone. This is the slippery slope that we're on, right? This is the danger of this. This is how aggressive the evil one has become. You know, and I love Archbishop Joseph Nauman. He's the chairman of the Bishop's Pro-Life Committee. You know what he called this bill? And I want to quote him. I read this earlier today. I'll share it with you. He says this, quote, "This is the most extreme pro-abortion bill our nation has ever seen." He went on to say that H.R. 3755 is not about health, the health of a woman, but it's only about eliminating any and all protections for the unborn children, including baby girls, because this bill assumes that abortions can be the only or the best solution to a crisis pregnancy. So in treating abortion, he says, as the moral equivalent to the removal of an appendix, this proposal is radically out of step with the American public. I could not agree with him more. I shared with you in the past, you know, what others have said. They've called this, other bishops have called this, I think it was Archbishop Cordiglione from San Francisco. He called this child sacrifice. That's what we're seeing here. I mean, plain and simple, that is what we are witnessing. So how do we win? How do we engage this battle? How do we change the tide? How do we become victorious? I believe Our Lady is the key to that. I'm absolutely convinced that the Mother of God, the pure one, the most holy virgin, the same virgin that crushed the head of the serpent in Guadalupe, and who Genesis tells us in the end, you know, he'll strike at her heel, but she'll crush his head. She's going to be the key to this. And there's a rosary campaign that is now being developed, and I really want to invite you to be part of it. I'm going to pray this every day. I want to do my part. I want to be part of that spiritual army that will help bring down the culture of death. I'm going to fill you in on how you can do that as well. You know, I love Archbishop Cordiglione. I was thinking about what he said a little bit earlier. You know, he echoed Archbishop Nauman's words. He says this legislation that has just been passed, it's nothing short of child sacrifice. Clearly, in reaction, among other things, to the recently passed Texas heartbeat bill, and I'm sure you're familiar with what happened in Texas. The heartbeat bill isn't the only pro-life legislation that was passed by the Lone Star State. They previously passed a so-called trigger bill that would completely outlaw abortion if the Supreme Court fully reverses Roe v. Wade. And guess what? That's going to happen. You mark my words. I'm telling you right now, that will happen. That's going to happen. So on top of that, Texas also increased funding for Medicaid for women who've just given birth. So Florida is now considering a very similar bill. Their bill is just like the Texas law, and it allows citizens to sue abortionists who perform abortions after a heartbeat can be detected, and gives them up to 6 years after illegal abortion was committed. But it goes even further than that. Here's the one interesting side note. It would actually change the language. You know, I've spoken to you about this many, many times, about the power of words, the power of language, and how it's been co-opted, how it's been used in a very powerful way, sometimes for very evil purposes. It would change the language in all abortion-related laws so that they no longer refer to a fetus, but to an unborn child. And I think that clarity is so important. That's a change that laws all over the country could ultimately benefit from. So Florida legislators, if you're not familiar, they're looking to enact an abortion law very similar to Texas. Listen to this report. It comes from Newsmax.
Florida Republicans say they will soon try to ban abortions when a fetal heartbeat is detected. And the Sunshine State's Governor Ron DeSantis is already hinting he'll approve it.
What they did in Texas was interesting, and I haven't really been able to look enough about it. They've basically done this through private right of action. And so it's a little bit different than how a lot of these debates have gone. So we'll have to look. I'm going to look more significantly at it.
I am not pro-abortion, but there are some circumstances that I can understand why women do it.
Meanwhile, others can't even fathom abortion being legal in the first place.
I have 7 kids, so I do not support abortion at all. I think that being a mother is a blessing no matter what. I understand that situations are not the best for everyone or not the right for everyone, but that is life, and life is not perfect.
No, I don't agree on abortion, period. I just don't.
Clinics in Texas treating women seeking abortion admit that their hands are already tied. The services they can offer now extremely limited, and facilities like this one in Florida face a similar fate should a comparable bill be enacted.
All right, so look, I'm going to ask you to pray. I'm going to ask you to pray for the state of Florida. If you're living in the state of Texas, listen to me right now, thank your governor, your legislators there. And I want you to engage with me. And in just a minute, the president, the CEO of EWTN is going to be joining me. There's an unbelievable initiative happening right now, and I'm going to bring you up to speed on it. I really believe that what we are witnessing here is the evil one becoming more aggressive than ever. And the only thing that will defeat it is love and is truth, and I believe Our Lady plays such a key role in it. You know, Archbishop Cordiglione, he made an observation about the Texas heartbeat bill when it came out, and he says, look, it's just a logical conclusion about the bill that passed. He says, it should come as no surprise, he says this, that the bill's being challenged by none over, now listen to this, none other than the Satanic Temple. The bill is being, Texas's heartbeat bill is being challenged by the Satanic Temple. Why? Because this is Satan's high holy sacrament. That's what this is. The culture of death worships at this altar. He says this bill's being challenged by none other than the Satanic Temple and precisely on the grounds of religious freedom. Indeed, H.R. 3755 is surely the type of legislation that one would expect from a devout Satanist, not a devout Catholic. And we hear what's happening, right? Archbishop Cordiglione made that observation, and he went on to say, that this is, he called it for what it was, child sacrifice, and what we're seeing here. So it's not just a political struggle between Republicans and Democrats. It's not even a struggle between, broadly between conservatives and liberals. I really believe this is a struggle between good and evil. It's a battle between principalities, where anti-life demonic forces are trying to wreck the beautiful life that God has created. He gave us this incredible gift, and life is being created in his own image and likeness, and yet we squander that. With that in mind, we here at Relevant Radio, we've been asking people to pray for the end to abortion, and every night at 7 o'clock, Father Rocky's been praying the rosary across America. Every hour, we pray the Memorare for that intention. But with the convergence now of the Texas heartbeat law, with the passage of H.R. 3755 in the House and the decision by the Supreme Court to hear the Dobbs v. Jackson women's health case in December, which will, I believe, overturn Roe v. Wade, we thought that we needed really to turn up the prayer dial just a little bit more. Because I really believe that's the only thing that will defeat the forces of evil. It's prayer. It is the rosary. That's the chain that will bind Satan. And just look at your history. Look at how powerful the rosary has played. Look at the powerful role it has played in defeating Islamic forces in Lepanto. Take a look at what it has done in vanquishing communism, atheistic communism. And take a look at what it has done to defeating the culture of death in Aztec Mexico. Today, more than ever, we need to turn to the rosary. We need to invoke the powerful intercession of the Mother of God. So what did we do? We partnered with our brothers and our sisters at EWTN and Napa Institute, and we're joining forces to do something that I think is unprecedented, but will bear unbelievable fruit. We are going to see the fruit of this campaign. We're going to pray the rosary every day next month, which is Respect Life Month and the month of the rosary. And we're going to pray for specific intention, and that's for an end to abortion in our country. And I'm laying all my money on the table right now. I think there'll be unbelievable fruit from this campaign if you're willing to join in with us. I'm joined right now by the CEO of EWTN, Michael Warsaw, and it's a delight to have him here with me today. Hey, Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Good to be with you again.
Oh, always good to talk with you. Thank you for the wonderful work that you do at EWTN. You guys have been pioneers, and I remember EWTN years ago, 91, I actually produced a documentary, did a film called Marian Apparitions of the 20th Century. I edited it in Alabama at your studios. And I remember at the time I was working with a guy who produced a rosary for you that would run all the time. So you've been promoting the rosary on EWTN for decades now. And I love the fact that we're all partnering together to promote in a special way this campaign. Tell me, what's the story behind this? Why did you decide to partner with Napa and Relevant on this initiative? And
I think as you were sort of outlining and articulating, this is a critical time, and particularly as we look to all of the things that are happening, whether that's Texas or Florida or elsewhere around the country, the pending Dobbs case, so many of these issues that are about the right to life, the right of children to simply be born. This is a critical time, and I think when this was first proposed and there was a conversation between Father Rocky from Relevant, Tim Bush at Napa, and I, we immediately got on board with this idea that together for us to be able to promote the rosary in this particular moment in this particular time, with all of this that is out there, when the when these forces, this culture of death, is just raging, you know, for us to come together and bring people together to pray the rosary for an end to abortion and for expectant mothers, that they'll choose life. There's been perhaps no more important time in our history to pray for this intention than right now. You know, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that, you know, it just, you know, is just fighting against good. You know, that that evil is pushing back all the time, and you know, and we as Catholics, as Christians, we can't surrender to that. You know, we have to push back. We have to live our lives in defiance of those evil forces that are trying to push, in this case, abortion, but so many other moral evils on our society and on our world. And as Catholics and as Christians, we have to push back on that. And as we know over the course of history, as you articulated, you know, whether it's, you know, Lepanto or, you know, the fall of communism or so many of these other moments throughout our history, Our Lady has been at the center of that, has been at the core of that. People praying the rosary, it's the most powerful weapon that we have. And so that's really, I think, what brought us all together, and for us to even encourage other apostolates and other organizations around the country and around the world to join in this effort, to join in this crusade, really, to invoke Our Lady's intercession in this critical hour, particularly as the Supreme Court takes up the Dobbs case in December. You know, I think that, as you said, I think that is, I think it's going to come out in favor of life. But we all have to do our part. We all have to participate in pushing back against the culture of death and in praying and asking Our Lady's intercession.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, and I, to your point, it's not just EWTN or NAPA or Relevant, but you're inviting apostolates and ministries all over the country and really the world to do that. What's the end goal? You're looking to unite, what, over a million people? What are we looking to accomplish here with this campaign?
Exactly, exactly. You know, I think we believe that, you know, if we can have at least a million, million is a minimum. You know, we want a million rosaries being said for this intention. And we want more. We want more. We want people everywhere to pick up the rosary, to pray the rosary, to pray it, you know, along with one of our airings, you know, whether it's what you offer on Relevant Radio or what we offer via the EWTN platforms or online streaming with NAPA. But, you know, if you can't join in any of those, at least pick up that rosary and pray that rosary for this critical intention in this, you know, critical moment in the nation, in the history of our nation.
You know, the other thing, Michael, that I really appreciate about this, you know, Satan, one of the hallmarks of his presence is division. And so often he likes to pit, you know, apostolates and family members and faiths against one another. And what I see happening here through the promotion of the rosary is unity. Unity, especially among some of the greatest and the largest apostolates we have for Catholic evangelization in the Catholic Church, really in the world in some respects. And that's another thing that I think Satan hates. And I think this is going to bear unbelievable, unbelievable fruit. You know, the press release on this says that with the Supreme Court of the United States taking up the Dobbs case in December, that could lead to the overturning of Roe v. Wade. The justice will need the grace and wisdom and courage to confront the issues honestly. We have some Catholics on the bench. How do you think, let's talk spiritually for a moment. How do you think the rosary in particular, how do you think those graces are going to flow and what kind of impact you'll think it'll have on the Supreme Court?
Yeah, I think there's no doubt that with all of us praying together for the justices, in support of the justices, that the Holy Spirit will descend upon them, will enlighten them and guide them in their thoughts and in their discernment of the issues. You know, certainly, as you said, there are several Catholics on the court. But, you know, for all of the justices, regardless of their faith, tradition, or practice, that they will see this issue for what it is, and that is, you know, one of the most important, the most important human rights issue of our day. I think, our hope is that by asking Our Lady to intercede and to send, showering those graces upon the justices to give them perhaps a new understanding and a strength, a courage to address this issue. I think it's not easy. Their position is not easy, particularly in this moment when there is so much division in the country and there's so much violence and vitriol. But they need wisdom. They need courage. They need courage, and we need to pray, I think, for the justices to have the courage to do what's right in this case.
Yeah, well, I'm grateful for all that you're doing. I was reading recently that the Holy Father, Pope Francis, he decried abortion and euthanasia. He gave a speech on Monday, and he talked about this throwaway culture that we live in. It leads to the killing of children, but it also, it leads to something else. I mean, not only are children being destroyed at the very beginning of life, but at the end of life, we're seeing the elderly being discarded, and we're seeing the rise in euthanasia across the country. So I know we're praying for an end to the culture of death in general, not just abortion. And I think we're going to see the benefits of this on both ends of that spectrum. Michael, I have about a minute left. Any final thoughts for those who are listening?
No, I again, as I said, I think, these apostolates have chosen to come together in this moment, and we certainly invite everyone who's listening and, who's available and able to really, come together with us, to join us in this effort to pray in this critical hour for our nation and for the culture of life.
Well, thank you for all that you do there at EWTN, for your leadership there, and thank you for making time for us today and how busy you are, and it's always a delight to talk to you. Keep up your good work.
Absolutely.
We'll be joined together in prayer, okay?
Absolutely. God bless you.
God bless you. That's Mike Worsall, Michael Worsall, CEO of EWTN. And again, I invite you to join EWTN, Relevant Radio, the Napa Institute, and whatever apostolate you have around the country to pray. Pray, pray, pray. I am so convinced. I believe so deeply. You know that. You know how convinced I am of the power of prayer. I've seen it so many times in my life. I used to have a very weak faith. And I've seen the fruit of prayer. I've seen the fruit of faith. I've seen the fruit of trust. And the forces of evil, they can't stand against it. Our Lady once said that the one who prays does not fear the future. The one who fasts does not fear evil. And I think that prayer and fasting is what's needed to disengage this demonic spirit. And I think this campaign in October is going to have a phenomenal impact on the war that's spiritually waging in our country right now. I invite you to join Father Rocky. He's on every evening at 7 p.m. For the Rosary Across America, and he'll lead the Rosary very much like I do the chaplet. We'll take calls, and we will pray. I know he's making the intention every day for the end to abortion in this country. And, we're going to unite in the chaplet as well at 3 o'clock. We'll make that a daily intention as well. But really invite you to tell others about the Rosary Across America. I invite you to get people plugged in to that prayer. Patrick Peyton had a profound outreach. He understood the power of this gift from heaven. And gather the family, gather your friends. Make it a sacrifice. I know time is valuable. Offer that up and spend that 20, 30 minutes with Father, and let's pray. And I guarantee you, we'll do this all throughout the month of October, a month dedicated to the Rosary, and you're going to see the fruit of your prayer. If you lived back in the 1800s, 1860-something, before the Emancipation Proclamation came down, I look back in retrospect and think, how could anyone think owning a human being is right? There are going to be generations that are going to look back and say, how could anybody think that killing a child in the womb was right? I mean, that's even more macabre. It's even more apparent. It's just bizarre. They're both intrinsically evil, right? Be on the right side of history. I know you are. Join us in this prayer campaign. This is what we can do today. You would have done everything you could to end slavery, right? You would have helped the Underground Railroad. You would have supported those. Let's engage spiritually to disengage this dark and demonic spirit. We'll do that with the power of the Rosary. I'll be back with more. Stay with me right after this.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Connect with Drew on the Relevant Radio app. Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, well, thanks for joining me. It is a delight. You know, we're going to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy coming up here in about 30 minutes. And if you want to join us, I would love you to do that. You're welcome anytime. You know that, right? Boy, we got a lot to talk about. I do want to get you plugged in to something. It's just speaking of the power of prayer for the battle against death, against the culture of death. St. Faustina, and I don't think I wrote about this in my book. I wish I did. I don't think I shared this story. The Divine Mercy devotion, the very origins of this, and look, this is what this is all about, really. It's about life. I think it's one of the great gifts of our Heavenly Father. It gives us the ability to come together unitively in love, and life comes from that, and Satan hates it. I've quoted quite often what Sister Lucia Dos Santos had said, and how Bishop Caffera had re-echoed this much later, that the final confrontation will be over, you know, family and marriage. And we see that attack. Why? Because out of family, out of marriage, we have the beauty of this gift of life. And he can distort the family. He can short-circuit the family, you know, by terminating a child in the womb. That's for sure, right? By distorting marriage, you know, where it's no longer unitive. There's not a complementarity in that union. So, I mean, this is part of the problem. But this has gone on for ages, right? The late John Paul II, he asked us to offer the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for five special reasons. And, you know, I often share this with people when it comes to life. I have two prayers that I love. I have the rosary in my left hand. I pray that every day. I got the chaplet in my right hand. I pray that a couple times a day. It's a little bit shorter, and I find I can get that in multiple times. Of course, I get to pray it with you, which I really appreciate. And the Holy Father, but he was a big devotee of Divine Mercy. I mean, he loved St. Faustina. He was responsible for overturning a ban on the Divine Mercy devotion. Believe it or not, this devotion had been banned at one point in time due to faulty translations of the diary. And John Paul was a cardinal, and Cardinal Markowski who asked him to look into this, and he did, and ultimately he overturned the ban, and Divine Mercy Spread has become the fastest grassroots devotion in the history of the church. And as I often share with you, Faustina had visions of Jesus, of Our Lady, of Saint Joseph, of her angel, even of saints, and she had unbelievable experience. I often talk to you about the value or the benefit of suffering. Faustina understood suffering and willingly endured and took it on. On three different occasions, and this would happen at night between 8 p.m. and 11 p.m. in the evening, she would go into an ecstasy. It was not a pleasant ecstasy. What often happens with these men and women, these saints, these people who achieve this great height of sanctity. So often they're given mystical gifts, you know, maybe the stigmata or certain suffering. Faustina had, I believe, the invisible stigmata. She writes in one of her diary entries about the pain she would suffer in her hands, her feet, and her side. Well, one night, it was about 8 o'clock at night, for three agonizing hours, this total, absolute pain, she felt like her insides were being torn out. Just torn out, torn apart. She didn't know what was going on, and she suffered so much, crying in agony. In fact, it was so bad, she thought she was going to die, right? So doctors come in, they look at her. They can't figure out what's ailing her. No medication was able to alleviate her suffering. Nothing they gave her mitigated the pain. And later, and she records this in her diary. It's diary entry 1276. If you have a diary of St. Faustina, you can look it up. Later, she said she was given to understand that she was undergoing those pains for mothers who were aborting their children. I mean, clearly a victim soul, clearly willing to take on the suffering for those mothers who were aborting their children. No one has known, you know, I have a friend who is a great champion of Divine Mercy, and he's got the Eucharistic Apostles of Divine Mercy, and they spread this devotion. Pope John Paul II gave his apostolic blessing on March 25th. That's the Feast of the Annunciation, right? In the year 2003, he gave it on that great feast to any person, any of the faithful worldwide who would pray the chaplet to end abortion and the culture of death. So when we pray the chaplet today, right, when you and I pray, we can tap in to that apostolic blessing that's available to us, thanks to John Paul II. But he recommended that we pray for five special intentions, okay, and to be used when we recite the chaplet. And I'll share them with you. So you want to jot them down, you can share them with your family and friends. Do what you can. But I would spread the word. Pray the chaplet with me every afternoon at 3. Please pray the rosary every night with Father Rocky. If we do this, if you do this personally, I think you're going to see a transformation in your own spiritual life. You're going to see peace come into your family. You're going to see the fruit of your prayers. You're going to see conversion. You're going to see answered prayers. You're going to see miracles. There's a power in prayer. Satan hates the rosary. As I said, it's a chain that binds him. He hates this prayer of the chaplet, which moves the heart of God. John Paul said, pray the chaplet. We'll do that coming up here, as I said, at the top of the hour, for these five intentions. For mothers, that they will not abort their offspring. Okay, pray that prayer. Lord, please help these mothers to choose life, not to make that mistake. 2, for any infant in danger of being put to death in the womb, that child has no voice, no ability to defend itself. Only you through your prayer, only you through your action. I mean, my heart goes out. As a Drew Mariani side note, I think we need to pray for these legislators, these governors like Hochul and others, who, as Joe Biden, like the president, the head of the executive branch, you know, who want to advance this culture of death, who want to throw the weight of government, who want to make it possible for women to do this, to abort their offspring, and to have that infant in the womb who's so defenseless be put to death. It's sad. I mean, it is downright sad. So the Holy Father says, pray for mothers that they won't abort their offspring, for that infant in danger of being put to death in the womb, and for a change of heart for the providers of abortion and of their collaborators. Their collaborators, Planned Parenthood, the abortionists, anyone else involved in that industry. You know, they're not the enemy. There are brothers and sisters who are seriously in danger of an eternity that will be one of great separation from God, great suffering. You know, we need to pray for their souls and for their conversion. I could share many stories of great abortionists who've had profound conversions, profound. So prayer works. It brings about that change. The fourth, he says, pray for human victims of stem cell research, genetic manipulation, cloning, and euthanasia. So these are the other attacks on life, right? Euthanasia, especially. We see the tinkering with the very fabric of life with stem cell research and genetic manipulation. Cloning is an offense to God. And then the fifth and final one, he says, for all entrusted with the government of peoples, that they may promote the culture of life, so to put an end to the culture of death. And John Paul covered it all, didn't he? When we say entrusted with the government of peoples, that's your Congress, that's your Senate, you know, that's your executive branch. That's those people who have the ability to make the laws of these lands. So let's pray for them. And, you know, when you join Father Rocky for the Rosary Across America at 7 p.m. Central, make that one of your intentions too. You know, pray. As we pray the chaplet, as I said, there is a special apostolic blessing that you'll get when you pray the chaplet with me every day if you pray for those five intentions. So I really hope that we will we'll do that together. All right, I'll tell you what. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, it's also the feast, if you will, or the anniversary of Blessed Michael Sopochko. This guy, you talk about prayer. You talk about the power of conversion. I share a little bit with you about a man who I think we owe such a great debt of gratitude to. If it wasn't for Father Michael Sopochko, he was the principal spiritual director. He was the confessor of St. Faustina. We probably wouldn't have the Diary of St. Faustina. You probably would not even have the image of St. Faustina, of the Divine Mercy, I should say. We probably may not even have had this devotion. There's a lot of mystics. You know, there's a lot of people that have, to this very day, and this might surprise you, visions of Our Lady and visions of Our Lord. And it's not like it ended, you know, in Fatima or with St. Faustina. God still is reaching out to people in profound ways. But thanks to his incredible wisdom, his profound knowledge, and his theology, we have divine mercy. So I'm going to share a little bit about a man who I turn to every day. You know, I believe in the communion of the saints. I believe in the power of the intercession of the saints. And I think there's certain saints. I think there's certain individuals, be them venerable or servant of God or blessed. Those are some of the titles the church gives to people as they make their way to sainthood. That I turn to. You hear me talk about venerable Samuel Mazzucchelli, a great Catholic priest who had a vision of the Mother of God, suffered very much, but helped to bring the faith to this part of the world. He brought it to America. He was an Italian immigrant, but and a profound man. Or even Father Ubald, whose cause is not open, but I just know his love of God, and I'm sure he's interceding for us, you know. Or Father Seraphim Michalenko, the great canonist, the great vice postulator for the canonization of St. Faustina. That was a man who, like Sopochko, made Divine Mercy possible. It's, he was so instrumental in the miracles that led to the sainthood of St. Faustina. Let me fill you in on some of it when I come back, though, okay? And if you want to join me, feel free to dial in anytime. I'll give you the number here. It's 888-914-9149. And, of course, you and I will pray at the top of the next hour for the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, a time, I think, of extraordinary grace and just... And just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in such a powerful way then. So we'll be back. Stay with me.
This is the Drew Mariani Show. Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy.
She's battling breast cancer.
Where we're here for you.
Suffering cystic fibrosis.
Every afternoon at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific.
Thank you so much.
On Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
God bless you for all the work.
This is the Drew Mariani Show.
God bless you for all the work.
Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy.
The prayers that you have generated through the calls for the last number of years I've listened.
Every afternoon at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific.
On Relevant.
Relevant Radio.
Yeah, coming up in a few minutes, we'll pray the chaplet. Love to do that with you. And I'll do my best to get you on the air. And here, do me a favor, if you could, before we do anything else. Perform an act of mercy right now. You know how you can do that? Send a text to that son, that daughter, that spouse, that sibling that you know needs prayer, and they're asking you to pray for them. Tell them to join us. They can listen to us on our mobile app at Relevant, you know, or go to the website at relevantradio.com. Mobile app's a great way to do it, though. You can stream it anywhere. And your smartphone, your tablet, it's just a tremendous resource. Or, you know, tell them to tune into the station you're listening to, and we'll pray together. You know, maybe you're in a business deal right now, and you guys need some prayer. Maybe you're worried about the mandates and losing your job. You know, maybe there's some other crisis that's facing you. Why not get together with that person that you're engaged in this deal with or the situation with and pray together? There's a power when spouses pray together. There's a power when children and parents pray together. There's a power when two or more are gathered. And coming up, we'll go ahead and do that, all right? Hey, I want to tell you a little bit about Father Seraphim Michalenko. Not Father Seraphim Michalenko, Father Sopochko, Father Michael Sopochko. I love both of these men. I actually ask their intercession every day. If you want to know who I often... turn to. I see the fruit of the intercession of the saints in a powerful way. Saint Faustina, in particular, she promised she would continue to pull back the veils of heaven, she said, so that you and I would not wound the most merciful heart of Jesus with our distrust. I think that's the greatest thing that we do to offend God. We lack faith. We lack trust. We're so weak, right? Why don't we believe in the goodness of God? Why don't we believe God hears our prayers? Why don't you believe that God can remedy your situation or make something possible out of the impossible? Oh, the laws of physics say this, or, you know, the math doesn't add up, or the doctors told me that, or, you know, my job told me. I don't care. I don't believe that one bit. I think of Christ and the miracles he performed, right? I think about how he tells his apostles he needs to pay the temple tax. Go pull a fish out. We'll pay the temple tax. And out of the mouth comes enough to pay for him and his apostles, right? Who was with him. You know, we don't have any wine. What are we going to do? Oh, my gosh, there's no wine at the wedding. This is humiliating. He Give me some water. Boom. He turns water to wine. He multiplies loaves and fishes. He feeds 5,000. That's just some of the miracles recorded in the scriptures. Why do we lack faith? Why do we lack trust? Why do we wound the Lord? We'll pray together coming up, and I invite you to pray with that trust. And I want to call upon today in particular Father Michael Sopochko's intercession. He's blessed now. And he was the man on the other side of the confessional window when a young nun came in and told him that she was receiving messages from Jesus Christ. You know, can you imagine that? Here you are, a priest, and somebody comes in and, oh yeah, they're hearing things. They're seeing Jesus. My antenna go up. The red flag starts to wave. Hold on. Right. You know, and honestly, because of this, you know, St. Faustina was actually given a psychological examination to make sure that she was sane and competent, you know, and competent psychiatrists of the day said, no, she's sound. She's sane. He was appointed to be her confessor. He was appointed to be the confessor to the convent for all the nuns. She was there in Vilnius at Our Lady of Mercy convent. And of course, those confessions and that encounter with Sopochko would turn the world upside down. In a confession, here comes this humble nun with this great weight on her shoulders. The Lord began revealing to her his message of mercy and says, look, I want you to be the secretary of my mercy. I want you to spread this message to the entire world. But who would believe a nun, right, with a second or third grade education, right? She was like the doorkeeper, the gardener, the cook, you know? Why did Jesus appear to her? First, nobody believed her, not her superiors in the convent, nobody, not her previous confessors. So Sister Faustina prayed for a spiritual director, somebody who could guide her, somebody who understood what she was experiencing was real. That's why I say to you, if you need an answer to your prayer, if you're looking for that right spouse, if you're looking for somebody to give you guidance, if you're looking for that mentor, ask God for it. He'll send it to you. Father Sopochko was the answer to her prayers. He eventually became the main promoter of her revelations. He was the very linchpin in the Lord's call to spread divine mercy throughout the world. And the Lord actually said this to St. Faustina. I mean, God bless Father Sopochko. I wish the Lord would say this to me. He told Faustina, he says, Father Sopochko is the visible help for you on earth. He's going to help you carry out my will on earth. So Jesus said, this is the man. This is the guy. And indeed, that's what he did. He was an incredibly brilliant theologian. He researched the writings of Thomas Aquinas and St. Augustine, two of the great minds in the Catholic Church. And based on the writings of these great church fathers, their writings, because Faustina said something to him that really perplexed him. She said that God's greatest attribute is his mercy. And he thought, the mercy of God is God's greatest attribute? So he dove into the writing of our church fathers, Augustine and Thomas, and they helped to confirm the authenticity of these revelations. And it was Father Sopochko who first instructed St. Faustina to keep her diary. And when Faustina told him of her visions and Jesus requested that a new image be painted and be spread throughout the world, it was Father Sopochko who found the painter who would paint this image of divine mercy. Faustina tried multiple times, but, you know, I personally, if Jesus said, Drew, paint an image according to the, you know, according to the vision that you see here, paint an image, I draw a stick person. I mean, I'm terrible, right? I can't draw. And Faustina struggled too. She couldn't do it. So she got this painter to paint this image for her. And it was never perfect in her eyes, but the Lord eventually told her it would be fine. And this image, as you know, is anointed. There are special graces and promises that come with it. I believe great protection. But it didn't stop there. You know, in actions that really marked the beginning of the spread of the message, the spread of divine mercy, Father Sopochko made the divine image, he had the image of divine mercy painted, but then he displayed it. After Easter in 1935, okay, he did this at a gate leading into the city of Vilnius, and it hangs in a nearby church there. And he preached on that night, on that feast in 1935, the message of mercy. Faustina would die 3 years later. She'd die in 1938. But that's how committed he was to this message. The reason I love him so much, he suffered ridicule. He was mocked for spreading the devotion, right? He was literally by colleagues and other people. See, the devotion got banned in 1959 due to some faulty translations of the diary. The Diary of St. Faustina was banned, and it looked like Satan was victorious, that the message of divine mercy was short-circuited. Yeah, Faustina had her vision, jab began to spread, but in 1959, when the church said no, for 2 decades, for 20 years, that message remained hidden. Although Sopochko dove in to studying the theology of mercy, and because of it, he left us a great body of work. 20 years later, 1979, he died before he saw this, but the ban on divine mercy would be utterly undone, right? Right now, you know, in fact, St. Faustina, just a side note, I don't want to get too off track here. Faustina had a prophecy that the devotion would seem utterly undone. She recorded that in her diary, in diary entry 378. And I think of Louis de Montfort, who had this great consecration to the Blessed Mother. That was so powerful. You know, 33 days, Patrick, do you know the title of it? I'm zoning out right now. St. Louis de Montfort's consecration to, I don't forget the title. Total Consecration to Mary, I think is what it's called. That was lost for 100 years. His manuscript was, it was lost in a chest. It was discovered 100 years later. Satan can't keep this stuff down. In fact, I was telling Patrick during one of the breaks that Satan actually appeared to St. Faustina. He came as an angel of light, and she thought he was an angel, who told her to burn her diary, to destroy it. You know, it was prideful. The Lord told him to tell her that, to destroy it. And of course she did. And when her spiritual director, Father Sopochko, came back, he's like, "What did you do? What?" He says, "No." And Faustina immediately realized what had happened. She had been deceived. That's why when you read the diary sometimes, it is not always, it's not in the exact order that Faustina initially received it. She, rewrote it from memory, certain sections of it. But, perhaps that's the way God had always intended it. But look, she's a powerhouse. She really is. And blessed Sopochko is a powerhouse. He was mocked, ridiculed for spreading this devotion. Faustina once wrote in her diary, she said, "One day I saw interiorly how much my confessor would have to suffer." She said, "Friends will desert you while everyone will rise up against you, and your physical strength will diminish." She says, "I saw you as a bunch of grapes chosen by the Lord, thrown into a press and suffering. Your soul, Father, will at times be filled with doubts about the work and about me. I saw him, God himself, opposing him. And I asked the Lord, why he was acting in this way? Why were there obstacles? And the Lord said, I am acting thus with him to give testimony that this work is mine. Tell him not to fear anything. My gaze is on him day and night. There will be as many crowns to form his crown as there will be souls saved by this work. It is not for the success of a work, but for the suffering that I give reward." Wow. Powerful message from the Lord, right? St. Faustina, or who was it? Mother Teresa. She says, "I'm not called to be successful, right? I'm called to be faithful." This is what the Lord said there. Maybe you're laboring right now in a pro-life ministry or some other ministry, evangelization or whatever it might be, helping abused women, whatever. It's not the success of the work, but it's for the suffering that I give the reward. Powerful, powerful stuff. Divine Mercy has, as I said, become the greatest grassroots movement in the history of the church. None of it would have been possible if it weren't for Father Sopochko, a priest who believed in St. Faustina. Maybe when I come back, because I have to take a break here, I'll share with you the great miracle that took place through the intercession of Blessed Sopochko. Let's today, in a special way, ask for his intercession. He and Faustina to go before our Heavenly Father and bring about that miracle that you're looking for in your life, all right? The chaplet is straight ahead. Stay with me, and if you want to join me, put this in your speed dial, 888-914-9149.